The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
One reason that the father ran to the son and greeted him in that way, put the robe on him, put the ring on him, the sandals, said, kill the fatted calf, we're going to have a big party. The reason the father does that is because of this commandment right here, verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. The father does that to protect his son from the other men in the community. Because the law says that kid should be put to death.
Have you ever lost something important to you? I know that for me, I have probably lost more things than I'm willing to admit. Whether it be your car keys, wedding ring, or wallet, we all know the feeling of finally finding that lost item. It's one of the best in the world. In today's message, Pastor Dan takes us through a familiar story of the prodigal son. Throughout today's message, you will hear the characteristics of Jesus and how incredibly much his love is for you and me. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Romans chapter 1 for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul describes himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. For example, in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and the Greek word is doulos. And the word that Paul uses is someone who is a slave by choice. Paul was saying, I'm a slave by choice. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ by my own choice. Jesus is a loving master who can do a better job managing our life than we can. And once we realize that he can do a better job with my life than I can on my own, I want to just serve him for the rest of my life. And we surrender our lives to him. We become his bond slave. We serve him forever. We let him be our master. We let him be our Lord. That's what the word Lord means, master. And we are happy to be his servants because he's such a wonderful, gracious, loving, generous master. And so verse 7, again, it's talking about these laws concerning servants. And if a man sells his daughter now to be a female slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. Now here, again, we're talking about someone who gets into terrible debt or terrible financial situation, and he may give his daughter in marriage. That's the idea here with this. Give his daughter in marriage to someone, you know, that they have a debt to. And what he says here, if you give your daughter in marriage to offset your financial situation, it's not like with the male servants. She's not free to return after 6 years. If you give your daughter in marriage because of some financial debt that you owe, it's permanent. It's not temporary. And so for the father, you need to think this decision through because she's not going to go just be the guy's wife for 6 years and then come back. It's a permanent thing. And so be sure this is what you want to do. And that father could arrange a marriage for his daughter. There's many cultures still today that have arranged marriages. I know some of you here have had arrange marriages in your family as well. And so verse 8, if he gives his daughter and she does not please her master who has betrothed her to himself, so they're engaged here to be married, then he shall let her be redeemed. So they're in this engagement period. The father enters into an agreement to give his daughter in marriage. They enter the betrothal period, or what we would call the engagement period. But then he's not pleased with her for some reason. He shall let her be redeemed, meaning the father can redeem his daughter back in that case. And then it goes on, he shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. The guy said, yeah, I'll marry your daughter or take her to be my wife. Then he changes his mind. He can't sell her to someone else. It's because he's been deceitful. And if he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. So he needs to treat her like a daughter now. If he's entered into this agreement for the daughter to marry his son, and now he needs to treat her like a daughter. She's part of the family. If he takes another wife, if he's not pleased with her and decides, well, I'm going to marry someone else, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, and her marriage rights. If he decides to take another wife, he still must care for and provide for his first wife. He can't just, you know, forsake his responsibility just because he doesn't want to be married to her anymore. And if he does not do these three for her, the food, the clothing, and the marriage rights, then she shall go out free without paying money. It's a contractual thing. You know, this was the agreement made to because of the debt. And so if the man, the husband, is not willing to provide for her, if he's neglecting that responsibility, then she's free to go. And whatever debt there was that brought about this arranged marriage, it's all canceled. These laws protected people and these kinds of situations. In particular, these laws protected women. Laws protecting women were unheard of in the ancient world. You only find them in the Bible. And so now, beginning in verse 12, we have laws concerning violence or violent acts. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. If you commit murder, the punishment for murder was death. However, if he did not lie in wait, it wasn't premeditated murder, but God delivered him into his hand, and then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. So this is an accidental death. You weren't intending to kill the person. It was an accident. God will appoint places for you to flee, what were called cities of refuge. And God will appoint six cities of refuge that you could flee to. You could explain what happened to the judges of that city. And if it really was an unintentional death, the judges of that city would provide refuge to you and protect you. Verse 14, but if a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. So if someone did commit premeditated murder, it was intentional. Even if he flees to the tabernacle, is clinging to the altar, God says, take him off the altar and put him to death. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Right? The command, honor your parents. Right? Honor your father and your mother. And as I said, when we were going through the Ten Commandments, a child's relationship with his parents is the most essential relationship in a society. It is the essential building block of any society because it's in that relationship that a child learns to submit to authority and to obey authority. And so any child who strikes his parents was put to death for the preservation of society. Verse 16, we've already talked about this one. He who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. Kidnapping, or what the Bible sometimes calls man stealing, was treated the same as murder. The punishment was the same as murder. Again, this condemns the form of slavery we had in the United States and so much of the world. This also condemns human trafficking that is so prevalent in the world today. Look at verse 17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. cursing your parents was deserving of death. How many of us here would not be here if we lived in Israel in the Old Testament times under this law? Praise God for Jesus. Now, you remember the story of the prodigal son, right? Luke chapter 15, the son goes to his father and asks for his inheritance. And what is he really saying to his father? I wish you were already dead so that I could have my money, so I could have my inheritance. He was, in a sense, cursing his father. The father gave him the inheritance, and you know the story. He went off and he wasted his whole inheritance. He went off to a far country, wasted all of his inheritance, and he ended up feeding pigs. And then he came to the end of himself and said, I'm going to return to my father's house, and I'm going to ask him just to make me a slave in his household, because slaves in his household live better than I'm living right now on my own. And you remember the story, Luke chapter 15, around verse 20, as he is coming back to the town, his father, what does it say? He sees him afar off, right? And the father begins to run to the son. It says the father had compassion on him. The father ran to the son, fell upon his neck, began to kiss him, put his robe on him. Now, one reason that the father ran to the son and greeted him in that way, put the robe on him, put the ring on him, the sandals, said, kill the fatted calf, we're going to have a big party. The reason the father does that is because of this commandment right here. Verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. The father does that to protect his son from the other men in the community, because the law says that kid should be put to death. And the father is concerned that the men in that community are going to put him to death. And so the father preemptively runs out there before the son can get to town, falls upon his neck, greets him, puts the robe on him so that the men don't put him to death for cursing his father.
Pastor Dan will share the second half of today's message in just a moment. But first, he'd like to take a moment to tell you how you can receive prayer for your needs.
Do you need prayer today? Every week we receive prayer requests from our listeners. If you need prayer for anything at all, we would like to pray for you right now. You can share your prayer request with us through our website, calvaryec.com. Again, that's calvaryec.com, or through our church app, or by calling us at 410-491-4592. And can I ask you to pray for us as well? Pray for the Ring of Truth radio ministry as we bring the Word of God to those who need it.
Thanks, Pastor Dan, and thank you for praying. Now, let's finish today's message.
Look at verse 18. If men contend with each other and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but is confined to his bed, if he rises again and walks about outside with his staff, he recovers, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of his time and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. So these two guys get in a fight for some reason. One guy gets injured. The guy who injured him, he's got to pay for his lost time. We've got laws like that today. Verse 20, and if a man beats his male or female servant with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Again, this is talking about servants that we talked about at the beginning of chapter 21. They're serving for 6 years because they've either got themselves into debt or theft or something like that. And here it says, if you beat your servant and he dies, you're guilty of murder. Nowhere in the ancient world are there laws protecting servants except in the Bible. You could not do whatever you wanted to your servant. You couldn't mistreat them or abuse them. God says in verse 20, if you beat your servant and he dies, you will be punished. You're guilty. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished. You know, if you're disciplining or you're correcting, and it's not overboard kind of thing, then he's not punished. Verse 22, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So two men get into a fight of some kind, and there's a pregnant woman there. She gets injured. She goes into labor prematurely. The child is born, but the child survives. The mom survives. Then they're punished according to what the husband imposes and what the judges impose on those men for fighting. But look at verse 23. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. If the baby dies, then those men are guilty of murder. Or if the mother dies, they're guilty murder. So what we see here is a child in the womb is a human life. Life begins at conception, and causing the death of a child that is in the womb is murder, according to God. And the punishment is the same. It's life for life. That's a human life. And so, the person who took that human life should be put to death. Now look at verse 24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now these are verses that are quite often misunderstood, aren't they? Oh, God is such a violent God. Well, no, that's a misunderstanding of these verses. The idea here is that the punishment should equal the crime. The punishment should not exceed the crime. It should be an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If you knock someone's tooth out, well, then they should be allowed to knock your tooth out. Now, why does God say this? He says this because he knows us. And he knows that if you knock my tooth out, I want to knock out all your teeth and break your nose and give you a black eye and vandalize your car on the way out. Right? We like vengeance. And understand, God now is saying, no, you can't take vengeance. God even says, vengeance is mine. It doesn't belong to you. And so your response cannot exceed what happened. Your punishment can't exceed the crime. Look at verse 26. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of his male or female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. God does not allow you to abuse your servants. They have to be treated with dignity. Again, you have this servant in your home because you are going to come alongside them and prepare them for freedom and show them how they can live and provide for themselves once they're free after 6 years of service. And God says now, if you do anything that causes any kind of physical harm to them, you have to set them free. Again, this is unheard of in the ancient world. That you're to treat servants with dignity. You can't physically harm someone that is serving you. Nowhere in the ancient world do you find laws protecting servants. You could do whatever you wanted to do and mistreat and abuse, but God says, no, you can't do that. It goes on here. Verse 28, we're almost finished, as you can tell. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. It's just a terrible accident, horrible accident that has happened. But if the ox tended to thrust with its horn in times past, and it has been made known to his owner, and he has not kept it confined so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. Now you're responsible because you knew that this was a killer ox and you didn't restrain it. Now you've been negligent. Verse 30. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life instead of putting him to death. If the family of the person that was killed says, we'll take a sum of money, he can pay that, whatever is imposed on him. Whether it has gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. Verse 32, if the ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And the ox shall be stoned. So if a servant is injured by an ox, not killed, but injured, well then 30 shekels of silver are to be given to the master for the injury to that servant, because now the servant can't serve while they're recovering. And so you pay 30 pieces of silver. Now, over time, for the Jewish people, the price of 30 pieces of silver became an insult. To say that you would pay 30 pieces of silver for something was a way of saying it is worth nothing to me, or it's worth nothing more than an injured servant to me. It was considered an insult. Kind of like the old Travis Tritt song, here's a quarter, call someone who cares, right? Like, I don't care about you at all more than a quarter, right? Well, to say, you know, I would pay 30 pieces of silver for you, it was an insult. And so when Judas went to the priests and said, what will you give me to deliver Jesus to you? They said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. And they were saying, Jesus is worth nothing to us. He's no more valuable than an injured servant to us. Verse 33, and if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good. He shall give money to their owner, but the dead animal shall be his. Again, God has to put these laws in his word for Israel, for the people, because he knows our hearts. He knows if our neighbor's donkey falls into the pit we dug, what will we say? Well, your donkey should have known better. Your donkey should have been paying attention to where it was going. Why'd you let your donkey come into my yard? Right? And they didn't even have Karens back then. But people were Karens back then. Karens is an ancient thing. There's nothing new under the sun. Verse 35. If one man's ox hurts another's so that it dies, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money from it, and the dead ox they shall also divide. Or if it was known that the ox tended to thrust in times past, and its owner has not kept it confined, he shall pay ox for ox, and the dead animal shall be his own. You get to keep the dead animal. You reimburse me for the ox that your animal killed. So, and we'll stop right there. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all these commandments, Lord, and all of these statutes. And we thank you, Jesus, for the fact that you came to fulfill the word, Lord, and that all of these things point to you. We thank you for the ways that we could see you in your word. And we are just grateful, Lord, to you. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for washing away all of our sins and completely blotting them out. We thank you, God, for your grace towards us. Lord, there's no master like you. And we thank you that we can dwell in your house with you forever. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
With everything you could have listened to today, we're honored you chose Ring of Truth. Whether it's your first time or your 100th time listening, we know that the Word of God brought a fresh perspective to your corner of the world. Did your faith grow with this message, or did it leave you with questions? If you find yourself with questions, please go to calvaryec.com to contact us so we can answer those questions. You can easily and securely fill out the form found under the Question tab. Columbia, Maryland is home base for Ring of Truth episodes, and we want you in our community. So if you're close, let's meet face-to-face. Sunday service times along with midweek service times are available on our website, calvaryec.com. Make sure to mark your calendar to come. For those of you too far away, don't be discouraged. Use our live stream to still be a part of our family. Don't leave our website without looking at the other resources we have provided to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Before our time is up, would you consider financially donating to this ministry? There are so many more lives to touch for Christ, but we can't do it alone. If you felt a tug at your heart to support us in this way, information can be found on our website, calvaryec.com. Come again for the next edition of Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft, and what I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.